Hello, you're through to Francesca INSO. How can I help?
Hi, I just missed a call from a guy called Alan Shane there.
Hi, yes, that's my colleague. I'm currently on the phone at the moment. I'd be happy to take the call instead, or if not, I can ask him to give you a call back.
Sorry?
It's about the Scottish Redress Scheme. He's currently on a call, so I can do the call with you, or if you'd like to wait for him, I can ask him to give you a call back.
It's no problem. I can speak to you. That's what you
Yeah,
want.
no problem. So it's now a good time to speak to go through your application.
Yeah, if you
Yep,
want,
perfect. So before we begin, I just need to take some details. So would I be able to get your full name, please?
yeah, my full name's Derek Wallace.
Yeah. And your date of birth?
So 13th of the 5th, 1972.
Of the 9th.
13th of the 5th. 13th of May.
Sorry, there we go. And your current address?
It's 18 Penrhyn Park, Newton Arts, County Down, Northern Ireland.
And do you have a postcode?
BT23
Yep.
8GW.
JW, perfect. And it's known as well. Did you know your address that you were at before you were placed in care?
It was 36 Crammond Place, North
Yeah.
Newton, Perth,
North what,
Scotland.
sorry?
36 Crammond Place, North Newton, Perth, Scotland.
Perfect. And did you know your parents' names?
Oh, my mother's name was, oh God,
That's okay, anything you
Senga,
can remember.
Senga Grant,
Can you spell that for me? Sorry.
Senga
Yeah.
Grant.
Grant.
Hi.
And did you know your father's name at all?
It was a stepfather. His name was Ian Grant.
And obviously, possibly might not know, but did you know if your mum had a name before Grant?
It was Senga Wallace.
Wallace. Perfect. Thank you very much. And are you registered with a GP at the moment? I'll be able to take the name off.
Here in Northern Ireland.
So just like the surgery name.
Oh, it's called the surgery, Newton Arts.
Newton Arms.
Newtown Arms,
Newton Arms. And what area is that?
County Down.
County Down. Perfect. Thank you very much. And so I appreciate so just discussing experiences connected to this application can be quite difficult and upsetting. So just to remind you, so any time during the phone call, if you need a break or any explanation or support, just let me know, okay?
Right.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities you want to make me aware of?
I have a movement disorder, which can be brought on by anxiety.
Okay.
You probably tell at the moment, whenever I get anxious, it moves into my voice. It's actually happening at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So just remember, take your time, okay? I'll do everything at your pace. If you need a break or a breather or anything like that, just let me know. If you want to continue any part of the phone call at a different date, okay? Just let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. If you need me to repeat anything as well.
No problem.
So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the scheme to you. We'll go through your options. I'll explain how INS Law operates. We'll go through funding and fees and then gather initial information to assess whether and how we can assist you. Is that
Yeah.
okay so far? Do you understand everything? Yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So I want to make sure that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us. So you're able to apply directly to the scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates underneath the government, the legal fees scheme. So they're paid by the government for helping you with your application. So they can get up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for helping you, whether you're successful with it or not. So with INS Slaughter, we don't operate under the statutory scheme, so we don't claim any government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we're not paid by the government for helping you. So would I just be able to confirm that you've not instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to anything to do with the scheme?
I haven't instructed anybody, but does that mean... So what happened? Are you like one of these... So does that mean you take money off of my... if I was to go ahead with you, then you just take money off of me then?
No, so our agreements, we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice again, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive the redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. The total fees, including the VAT, they're capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of the redress payment, but you'll never pay more than that agreed cap.
Right.
So no win, no fee, so it's only if you're successful. So if you're not, then you pay nothing. So I want to be sure as well. So we can't guarantee that you'll be successful or the level of award the scheme may award. So the scheme operates on a discretionary basis, so I can explain that in greater detail during the call.
Yes.
Is everything okay so far? Do you have any questions?
Sorry?
Do you have any questions so far?
No, go ahead. No, I'm listening.
Perfect. So if you instruct us, so we assist, so we can help with your eligibility to apply, to see if you're eligible. We gather and review all the evidence, and then we prepare and submit the application. We do all the correspondence with the redress scheme, and then we can advise on any offers made. We'll explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered. And
yeah.
Then we assist them with any reconsideration or review processes in the scheme. So if you're unhappy with the outcome or anything like that, we can also help you with that.
Yes.
So if the redress offer is made, I'll fully explain the statutory waiver before you decide whether you're going to accept anything. It is important because if you accept an award, it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you're not expected to accept an offer unless you fully understand the consequences. Is that all okay so far? Do you understand everything?
Yes.
Brilliant.
So if you decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement with us. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And if you choose as well, so we can begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
I think so, aye.
Yeah, perfect. So following this phone call as well, I'll send you an email with a couple of documents that we require from you. So it'll be a photographic identification and then a proof of address that has a date stamp on it within the last 3 months of today's date. Is that possible? Did you have photographic ID available?
I've got photographic ID, aye. And...
Yeah, perfect. So it'd be like a passport, driving licence, or we can do a birth certificate as well.
Oh, no, I've got a passport, driving licence and stuff like that.
Perfect.
I've got a thing there with my address on it, you know, to the tax office and stuff like that.
Yeah, perfect. So I'll send you an email after this phone call, and if you could respond to the email then with just a couple photos, then I can add them to your file then.
Right.
So just a few more questions before we move on to the care settings. So have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No
worries. And would you like to add a beneficiary to your file in case anything was to happen to you?
You mean if something happens to me, just my son?
Yeah, would I be able to take his full name, please?
Connor Wallace.
Is that, sorry, first name?
Connor.
Is that double N-O-R?
Yeah.
Yeah. And his date of birth?
Wait a minute. 13th of February. Christ, I don't know.
That's okay. Do you know how old he was? Do you know how old he is now? And I can try work backwards.
31.
I'm also dyslexic, so I'm just going to check the calculator. There you go. So 1995, does that sound right?
It sounds a bit good, huh?
Something like that, that'll do. Can always go back and confirm if anything's wrong. And then, did you have an address or a telephone number?
Oh, now you're having a laugh.
I can always
that at a later date for you.
I can always get these details at another date if that's okay. Yeah, okay. I'll just pop on his name for now, and then only because redress might ask for the address or a contact number for him in the future. So obviously, if we need to contact him, that's all. That's okay. And then on impact factors. So have you received any relevant payments? So criminal injuries compensation, or like court settlements related to anything that happened to you, or an advance payment scheme, anything like that?
No.
No. Oh. And do you have any criminal convictions?
No.
No. Perfect. So regarding that, so we'll move on now to the care settings. So would you be able to name the care settings you were placed in, and with like an approximate date that you were there, if you can remember?
I was placed into care when I was, let me see, it would have been roughly...
Okay, just like a brief estimate. So if we try and get your records, as long as you're in there for a certain date.
roughly about 1982, was placed into Collinsey Children's Home for roughly about a week.
And how do you spell that, sorry?
Collinsey, Collinsey.
Collinsey, for about a week.
For about a week, that was in North Muirton.
And then what was that, North?
North Muirton in Perth.
And how long were you there for?
I was just there for about a week. From there, I was taken and placed in foster care.
And what local council would that have been under?
Perth and Kinross.
And how long were you there for, if you recall?
Well, Collinsey.
You said you were placed in foster care.
Oh, foster care. I think it was in foster. I can't remember. I think it was there for about, I think maybe 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. So was this all in roughly the same year, or?
It was all in the same year,
yeah.
And it was can I tell you my social worker's name? Would that help you as well?
Yeah, that would be perfect. Thank you.
Her name was Amy Galloway.
Amy Galloway.
And she worked out of Roslyn House in Perth.
Roslyn. Roslyn House.
In Perth. So she did.
Okay, perfect.
From the foster care, I went back into Collinsey House again for a week.
Yeah.
And from there, I was moved to Burnside House in Dundee.
What was that one, sorry?
Burnside.
Donseg.
Burnside, B-U-R-N.
Oh, Burnside, sorry.
Burnside, B-U-R-N-S-I-D-E.
Burnside.
It was an assessment centre. It was a closed unit.
Assessment centre. And how long were you there for?
I think it was there for a few months.
So it would have been about 1983.
Yeah.
Yeah. And were you placed anywhere else following that one?
From there, I was moved to Edgardower House in Pitlochry.
In Kill,
Edgardower House, Pitlochry.
And was that a short term or long term? Sorry,
I was there for about 3.5 years after that one.
3.5.
Aye.
Okay. And was that your last placement?
It was, I was released in there in my care of my sister and brother-in-law after that.
Okay. Thank you. So regarding that now, so I'll have to take some short statements from you in relation to each care setting. So would you be able to tell me about, is it the Colonsay, if you get anything mixed up or anything's out of order or if memory isn't all there, that's okay. Just tell me what you can. So these statements here, they're to send to the redress scheme with your initial application to get it accepted. Mm-hmm. And then down the line then, once the evidence team has gathered all of your reports and everything from the local councils and institutions, you'll have to do a witness statement with my other team member. So that one will be in more detail because we'll have all the evidence with us so it can be more framed. But is that okay?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So would you be able to tell me about your time in Colonsay, the short-term stay ones?
Colonsay Children's Home I had no problem with. I quite enjoyed my time in Colonsay. I wish I had just been placed there and left there.
Yeah, it's always the way, the short term ones.
Yeah.
And then was it the North Mutant, you say it was in Perth?
Yeah, that was, well, Colonsay, that was North Mutant, yeah. I had no problems with my foster care as well. In all honesty, I didn't like the family, so.
Yeah.
But they never treated me bad in any way. Like, I just didn't like them.
Yeah. So, was that the one where, so you were in foster care?
Yeah.
For 6 to 8 months, you said?
Yeah, I was there, I think, for about six months, I think it was. Yeah.
And why were you removed from the Colonsay and placed in foster? Was it just because they found foster family for you?
Yeah, I think what it was, Colonsay, it was just because it was taken out of my parents' home. It was a short-term thing. It was just put me in there. It was, you know, emergency sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. And can I ask why you were taken away from your parents?
I wasn't a very nice child. Like, it was kind of... I was getting into a lot of bother, and then we had this situation, you know, with her stepfather, and he had beaten me quite badly.
Yeah.
And he had went to court for that.
Yeah.
And as I say, there was no sort of parental control over me, and I think it was the case that my mother had signed me over into the care system. I'd had a, you know, social services had been involved for a while.
Yeah.
And I think with the beating I had taken from this guy, Ian Grant, and then, you know, the fact that I had no parental control, I'd also broken into a school and set fire to it and stuff like that. She had just signed me over into the care system, said, you know, take him away and put him in a home sort of thing.
Yeah. You were removed then from foster care and placed back into Colonsay.
I think it was just they had a place there that they could put me in, you know, again on an emergency sort of basis.
Yeah. So was it the foster carer's choice to put you back there, or was it for another reason?
No, I had refused to go back to there. I ran away. I got picked up by the police, and whenever the social worker came to pick me up, I had refused to go back and live with them.
Yeah.
So I was placed in there until I think they'd taken me a, you know, a children's panel, you know, hearing.
Yeah.
And they had decided then to put me to Burnside Assessment Centre, where they assess you, you're locked into this place, you know, you go to school there and everything. And then they assess you, pick a children's home where they're going to pick you, you know.
Yeah. And in regards to Burnside House, so did anything happen to you while you were in there, or was it just the assessments and finding someone?
The assessment, I faced some physical abuse in there. And I don't know if you could call.
So with abuse, it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be physical or anything like that. It can be mental, emotional, is
Well,
neglect, any type of those.
the
Yeah.
it was the kind of place you were locked in there 7 days a week. Now, I mean, at 11 years old, 10 years old, I mean, being
Yeah.
locked in 7 days a week, we weren't even allowed out to play. You
Yeah.
know, we got out once a week. We went frog march to Asda's to spend our pocket money. We came back, and
Yeah.
that was about the only time we seen daylight.
Yeah.
We
That
were
once
made
a week.
to go to school in the place. My education suffered for it as well, because whenever I finally did go to Pitlochry to the high school, I
Yeah.
was miles behind all the other kids, like. But you were made to go. You sat down to have your dinner in the dining area. They had like a what you call a junior unit, which I was in, and then you had a senior unit, PA1 and
Yeah.
PA2, which they were senior units as well. But you obviously you had your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner,
Yeah.
but you were pretty much you were fed what you were given. Now, I've always had a problem. There's certain foods I don't like some macaroni and cheese in it.
Yeah.
I remember there was an old woman that used to work in the place, Mary Melville. I'll never forget her name. It's the woman still gives me nightmares for flip's sake.
Yeah.
Now, she would have made me sit there, and she'd have forced me to eat macaroni and cheese
Yeah.
until I would puke it back up on the table. And then they would have this room, what they call solitary.
Yeah.
Because I would have thrown up on the table, I'd have had to clean that up, and then I'd have been put in solitary for 2 days, where I would never see anybody.
Yeah.
And I'd have been left in that room for 2 days, like, you know. Now, 10 year old, I mean, that's abuse.
That's, yeah, no.
You know, now that didn't just happen to me. I mean, that was happening to dozens of kids in that place. Like,
Yeah.
now, I only heard about this Scottish redress, by the way, the weekend there. I was speaking to another fella in the home. Now, I'm 55 now. I actually almost thought, you know, I was a bad kid. I, excuse me, I deserve what I got. But he was saying to me, no, you didn't deserve that, like, you know.
No, you definitely didn't.
But so this would happen to me quite regularly, because, like I say, rice pudding was another one. I couldn't eat rice pudding. So any time I was forced to eat food that I would throw back up over the table, you know, and
Yeah.
maybe had another half dozen kids sitting around that table, I would throw it up, and they poor kids had to put their eyes sit and watch me throw it up, you know. And then it would affect them as well, and then I'd have to clean everything up, and then I was thrown into solitary for 2 days, like, you know.
Yeah, it's
You know, that would happen to me maybe like once a fortnight or once every 3 weeks while I was there, like,
yeah,
you know.
you just left vulnerable, weren't you?
I
Well,
just laughed, but
everyone else could see you.
you know, but like I say, it wasn't just me. I've seen it happen to the other kids as well. You know, it wasn't just me.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, we didn't get out. It was like a prison. It was like a prison for children.
Yeah.
You went to school in the place, and as I say, I mean, the schooling, it wasn't proper schooling, like, you know. You didn't get out. There was no proper eye. Yeah, I mean, you didn't go for a bit of fresh air, or you're on a bit of playground or anything like that. You were in the place, and that was
Yeah.
it. You know.
Did you say, were you neglected in any form of care? Were you given, like, do you mean, like, were you looked after in the way you should have been in any way, or were you just left to kind of just fend for yourself a bit?
No, I mean, well, you had your proper bedrooms. I mean, they came around at you know, every day. You'd come around and put a bit of toothpaste. You didn't even have your own toothpaste. So it was like you would come around and put a bit of toothpaste in your toothbrush every morning and every night.
Yeah.
With your teeth, not, you know, but I mean, you had your own room and stuff like that, and then you had the day room where you were sat and watched TV and stuff, but
yeah,
it's just, I mean,
it's, you know, it's just the solitary and the food and the being locked in it, yeah.
Oh, I mean, you didn't get any visitors or anything like that, you know, your parents didn't come and see you, you didn't go home at the weekends or anything like that,
yeah.
You were just there, and you were there until they assessed you, and then you were finally sent to a children's home where they thought you would fit in best, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine the place is closed down now, really, like, the production. It's not a place to send anyone to now, like.
What was that, sorry?
I would imagine it's closed down now, like. I would imagine the same kid there now, like.
No.
You know, but it was just one iron plate. I suppose it was all right at the time, like. Yeah, it was acceptable.
So following that one, then you were placing
Bitlochy Children's Home.
Goodwalkie, yeah. And that was for 3.5 years, wasn't it?
Aye, 3.5 years.
And would you be able to tell me briefly about that place?
Generally, it was okay. It was fine. It was run by a place, NCH Children's Home. It was a charity. National Children's Homes, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And it was run by a fella called Bill Allison and his wife, Kathy. Now, they were the superintendents. Generally, it was quite a good children's home. It was run very well. Most of the members of staff were decent. They were very good.
Yeah.
Through the years that I was there, generally I found that it was all right. Now, there was a couple of incidents in the place. Okay, as I said, I wasn't the greatest of kids. Like, you know, I mean, I could be cheeky. I could be, you know.
Yeah, regardless of how you were, though, it doesn't warrant anything to happen to you.
Well, there was a couple of times, you know, I might have ran away from the children's home and I might have did things, you know, that I shouldn't have done, you know, going out midnight walks and stuff like that. But Bill Allison was what you call, he was a black belt second dan. And Pitlochry Children's Home used to, it was quite big grounds. So, again, you would have lived in the place, but you were never allowed to go down the town and meet your friends or that. You just, when you got home at night, that was you. You were in the children's home, but you did have big grounds that you could play in and that. So it was okay that way.
Yeah.
But Bill had this way of punishing us. You know, he would take us over. There was a thing what we called the chapel. It was like an outbuilding. He would take us over there and he would make us do judo. Now, I never ever wanted to do judo. I had no interest in judo.
Yeah.
But his way of punishing us was take us over there and make us do judo. So he would take us over and he would show everyone the judo moves. So if you had done something wrong, he would show the judo moves by using you. And he would throw you around that place like a wet lettuce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you knew, you came away from there feeling quite sore, like.
Yeah.
You know, but there was other times as well that when you had done something seriously wrong, he would take you off into one of the side rooms in the actual children's home, and he would do this thing where he would take his four fingers, the tip of his fingers, and he would always beat you around your chest.
Yeah.
Using the tips of his fingers. So nobody could actually see any sort of marks or bruising because it would be below your school shirt and stuff like that. You know, and I mean, he'd give you a good beating with his four fingers. He knew how to hurt you, like, so that nobody
Yeah.
would see it. You know, now again, as I say, I always thought, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I was a bad, bad child. Like, I thought, you know, I deserve these things, you know what I mean?
No.
His wife as well, Kathy, she had a way of doing things as well. I mean, when she literally grabbed you and dragged you around the corridors, she would grab you. She had long fingernails, but she would
Yeah.
always grab you by the arm and drive her fingernails in under your arms and drive her nails in under your skin. And again, I mean, like I say, I just always thought it was a bad kid, you know. I mean, what could we do or say about it? Like, you know, and you know, I don't know if that, but see, I still think to myself, is that abuse? I don't know if that's or not. I don't.
No, you didn't deserve any of this.
I don't know. And there was one incident as well, a member of staff. In fact, he wasn't even a member of staff at the time. At that point, he used to be a member of staff. Elaine Beck's husband, Eddie Beck, used to be a member of staff. But he moved on to be a social worker.
Yeah.
But his wife was still a member of staff, Elaine, and they lived in an apartment in the children's home. So he was still living on the premises. But I don't know what I'd done. I'd done something to his wife anyway, but Eddie had got furious about it, and he'd come and he'd grabbed me by the neck and he drove me into the laundry room door face first. And he made me sleep in the laundry room that night on the cold concrete floor. And the
Yeah.
laundry room, the window didn't close properly in that laundry room that
Yeah.
or at that time. And you know, it's just that it's freezing cold, but I had to sleep in the laundry room in my pajamas and that. And just again, it was another thing. There was another incident that Bill Allison had made me and two other fellas. We had a bit of a water fight upstairs one night. Myself, Colin Young, and I think it was Jimmy Briggs.
Did he say he made you have a water?
No, we had a wee water fight
Yeah.
upstairs, you know, in our corridor one night. And
Yeah.
it was late at night. And obviously, we got caught doing it. And Bill Allison came up from his house, the superintendent. And there was a whole big hoo-ha about it. And we were obviously we were taking it into consideration. We were standing there in our pajamas, our dressing gown, and our slippers. And it was late at night.
Did he take you to that room where he took where the other one you spoke about? Is it the same room?
No. There was a three. We were all in the conservatory, but he made us walk. Now we stayed up in the top of these fields. You know, we were outside the town centre.
Yeah.
But the three were there, just like I say, pajama bottoms on, our slippers and our dressing gowns. And Bill Allison, in the middle of the night, I think it was about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, he made us walk in our pajamas, our dressing gowns and our slippers. He made us walk down through the fields, down through this forest, through the Athol Palace grounds, and back up through the town of Pitlochry, and back up what we call the high drive, and
Yeah.
all the way back up to the children's home, which would have been a good, what, 3 mile gander
Yeah.
in the middle of the night, in the dead of the night, in our pajamas and in our slippers, like, as a punishment. So he did, you know. Now, also, during the time in that children's home, now, this is a hard one for me to talk about.
That's okay. Take your time.
I used to have to go home on weekend leave, as you do with most children's home. They try to get the, you know, a sort of reintegrate you back with your family.
Yeah.
So I would have had to go home to my mother and my stepfather.
Yeah.
And they had this man Robert Graham, that they used to try and, you know, get me to call him Uncle Robert, like.
Yeah.
Now, I'd have got a bus home on the Friday, and then your man Robert Graham would have picked me up on a Sunday, and then he would drove me back to the children's home on a Sunday.
Yeah.
On the way back up to the children's, so he used to buy me things like milk packs of Mars bars and Twixes, and he would have bought me packets of cigarettes and that, because we were allowed to smoke in the children's. So this is the first time I've spoke to anybody about this.
Yeah. Okay.
Back then, I did complain to my mother, and I told my social worker, and I told members of staff in the children's home, the man used to stop in his car and try to make me touch his genitals.
Yeah.
And I complained several times about this, and nobody done anything about it. They all told me that I was trying to cause trouble. So that's, at the time, that's when I started getting suspended from school. Because by getting suspended from school, made the children's home stop sending me home.
Yeah.
At the weekends, because it was like a privilege getting sent home at the weekends. So I did that, and then finally I got excluded from school. Which ended up, that's when they threw me out of the children's home and sent me home to stay with my sister.
Yeah.
But nobody fucking listened, not one of them, not my parents, nobody.
Who did you speak up to about it?
I told my parents, told my social worker, and I told fucking the children's home, Bill Allison, and the fucking members of staff in the children. Not one of them fucking listened to me. None of them.
No.
And the man was a fucking filthy pervert, like. None of them, not one of them fucking paid attention to me. And I ended up, I got suspended from school and then excluded from school. And it, that was the only way I could get it stopped, like. But yeah, that's about my experience. And the last thing is, when they did get rid of me, they sent me home to my brother-in-law and my sisters. Nobody checked to see what I was getting sent home with. Nobody checked to see what I was getting sent home with. I was sent home to my brother-in-law and sisters. I went to live in a flat with my brother-in-law and sister, in a room with no carpets, a bed in it, nowhere to put my clothes.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law and sister were given a foster care as allowance, which they immediately spent every week on McDonald's. The only reason I was able to get fed was my best mate's mum was feeding me, while my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were sitting scrambling their faces at McDonald's. And the only reason I got fed was my mate's mom was keeping me alive, like.
Yeah.
And the care system just washed their hands of me, just forgot all about me. That was it. You know, they just washed their hands of me. So they did. But that's my story, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that with me. As I understand it's very, very difficult to do. Okay, so I've written all of this down now. So I'll write it up into some statements. And then following this call, then I'll send you an email then with all the contracts on and everything like that. So you can read through them, or I can give you a call when I send them if you like, just to talk you through the contracts. It's completely up to you. But in regards to everything we've spoken about today, so there's two applications that we can pursue under the scheme. So there's a fixed payment of $10,000, and it's fixed regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed one, which is up to $100,000. So it's decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you suffered. So So based on the previous awards made by the scheme and the severity and everything we've spoken about today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment. Is that okay? Is that what you want to do?
I don't understand that.
So the first one, so we get out of your application, and it doesn't go to a closed panel. It's just a fixed amount of £10,000. Or there's one where your application gets sent to a panel, so it's individually assessed per application, and you can get up to £100,000.
Okay.
And based on everything we've spoken about today, I'd like to pursue that one, if that's okay with you.
Whatever you think's best, it's up to yourself. Am I going to have to come over to Scotland and appear in court?
No. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the scheme in person, so we'll do everything for you. So we'll provide the witness statement on your behalf to the scheme. We'll get all the evidence, so we'll do it all for you. So the only other thing you'll have to do is the witness statement with a member of the team further down the line once we've gathered the evidence. And then after that, then it's all with us.
Right.
You don't have to see anyone. You don't have to do anything else.
I don't mind if I have to come over and meet you in person. I don't mind having to do that. I don't want to have to stand in front of a panel and explain just told you there, like.
No, you don't have to do that with us. So that's what we do for you. So we do the application for you. So we do all the correspondence with the scheme and the government and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned, so following this now, so I'll write up the statement quickly, and then I will send you over an email then. So I'll have a client care letter, conditional fee agreement, letter of authority, and then the application that we've done today, and then an email then with request for the proof of address and identity. So is that all okay with you?
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. So would you like me to give you a call when I send the contracts over?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah. Of course, I'll do that. So I'll try to get this sorted in the next hour, so I'll give you a call then.
No problem. I'm sitting here today anyway. I'm on holiday, so...
Okay, well, what did you say? You're on holiday, are you?
Yeah, it's the 12th of July over here, so it's kind of madness, so,
Okay, well, I'll give you a call back shortly. But did you have any questions for me at all?
No, I don't think so at the moment.
No? Perfect, okay. I'll get a couple of emails sent and then I'll give you a call soon, okay?
No problem, thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.